Good afternoon. From the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB, this is Don Guerra.
And I'm Erin Wagermiller. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, April 17th, 2018.
There was a lot of information gathering and a lot of pounding the pavement over the course of their time here.
The City of Bloomington's new Communications Director, Yael Cassander, talks about what the city may consider doing with the current downtown IU Health Bloomington Hospital site. We'll hear from Cassander later in the program in today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Gladys Devane talks about living as a black woman in Bloomington and the racism African Americans have faced throughout her life here. That's coming up later in the program in this week's edition of the Bicentennial Journal, looking back on 200 years of history in South Central Indiana. But first, your daily headlines.
The Bloomington Redevelopment Commission approved spending $34 million to construct Switchyard Park yesterday. The commission approved over $25 million worth of additional features that go beyond the original park plan, including a skate park, limestone concert seating, and a 90-space overflow parking lot off of Rogers Street. Parks Operations Director Dave Williams described one more new feature in yesterday's commission's meeting.
Finally, there is a project. There is a shelter house, a picnic shelter, near the splash pad playground that we had a very late in the game addition of the possibility of a seating wall between these two shelters that have a roof that kind of angles like this. There's a wall between them that includes a fireplace. We added this at the very end of the park design, and we are requesting it be included for an additional cost of $69,300.
Williams said some elements have been pulled out of the construction contract because the city can handle them for less money. Those include furnishing the police substation and elements of surveillance and security, which will be handled by the city's IT department. The city decided early to bid the park as a single construction project. The commission approved contracting with Weddle Brothers Construction, only one of two builders on the project. Williams said it's understandable the city only received two bids.
And there's a lot of reasons: competition, inability to secure subs locally, the size and scope and the bonding capacity that is required for a project this size.
According to Williams, the contractor is obliged to complete the project in May of 2020, but the park could be usable before then.
The substantial completion of the project would be November 19, where we will have a ribbon cutting and a substantially open and operating park.
Controller Jeff Underwood told the commission the project was originally estimated to cost $35 million. The $34 million budget approved yesterday includes roughly $2.7 million of contingency funds, which Underwood said may or may not be needed.
The commission also previewed the city's contract with Indiana University, University Health, to buy the IU hospital site on 2nd Street. City Attorney Philippa Guthrie said the city will pay $6.5 million for the main hospital site and several nearby parcels. According to Guthrie, IU Health has agreed to raise the main site. Commission member Dave Walters questioned Guthrie and Underwood on that point.
Once they do their demolition, we get a site that's got a grass to be mowed like we have now at the Trades Park. You know, when we tore down the two IU buildings, we just ended up with a nice grassy plot. Or is it big holes in the ground and an erosion fence?
We're requiring them in this to bring it up to grade, be ready for development.
There's actual standards required in this that we can go and test for. So if they don't meet those
and compaction,
infill and compaction and seating, it should end up looking like the Trades District did.
Guthrie added that IU Health has agreed to make infrastructure improvements near the new hospital site on the State Road 4546 bypass. She says the larger plan is to create a path to the hospital through the IU campus.
So IU Health will design and construct and pay for all the costs for infrastructure improvements at 14th Street in the bypass, and at 10th Street and Pete Ellis Drive.
Guthrie says the city has committed to help IU Health find funding for the infrastructure project.
The thought is that with IU Health and the city, you know, partnering to get state funding, federal, whatever funding we can get to fund those improvements, if we get some of that funding, we would give it to them for these projects.
The city council must approve the contract before the redevelopment commission can buy the property. According to Guthrie, state law requires prior city council approval for purchases over $5 million that use TIF funds and are paid for over 3 years.
City of Bloomington Utilities Director Vic Kelson says the last stage of the South Central Sewer Interceptor project will be expedited. The project, slated to begin June 1st, will close portions of South Walnut and Grimes Lane. Kelson told the Utilities Service Board on April 16th, expediting the project will minimize its overlap with a county project on Country Club Drive.
CBU Engineering and our office have been meeting with the Mayor's Office, Department of Public Works, Monroe County Highway Department, the County Commissioners, Bloomington Transit, and MCCSC, Perry Township Trustee, and others over the last several weeks working out plans for that project. We're scheduled to begin around the 1st of June and be done before school starts in the fall.
Kelson said delaying the project would not only impact area students, but would also cost the city an additional $300,000.
Pushing it back past August 8th gets it into the school year, and Grimes Lane is an important conduit for school buses. It would be terribly disruptive to virtually every student on the west side.
Board President Julie Roberts said the city, the county, and the utilities department are each contributing $30,000 to expedite the project.
The Metropolitan Planning Organization's Policy Committee has approved 4 transit studies they hope will help the county cope with growth. One study will focus on the county's southwest corridor. Transportation planner Anna Dragovich told the committee the study will examine existing travel conditions and how to improve them.
Study focus would be the area surrounding intersection State Route 45 and Curry Pike / Leonard Springs and Liberty Drive, including the intersections of State Route 45 and 48.
The area of Fullerton Pike and Interstate 69 will also be considered. Monroe County Public Works Director Lisa Ridge chairs the committee. She expects there to be impacts from I-69 and new development that the county hasn't foreseen. Committee member Jeff McKim agreed, saying I-69 could change area community patterns for all modes of transportation.
You know, this isn't just about cars, but it's also making sure that we're able to serve all of our users, transit users, bicycle users, pedestrians, and so on, and just make this a more friendly area of the county.
A second study will look at optimizing 8 routes run by rural transit. The Area 10 Agency on Aging runs the transit service, which reaches beyond Bloomington transit routes. Executive Director Chris Myers says she hopes the study will help her organization maximize their limited resources. She points out rural transit is not supported through tax dollars.
This would be an actual good opportunity for us to look at the resources that we have in Monroe County, which is currently about 5 demand response routes and 3 point deviation routes. We call it the express route. It's the one that has most regular stops throughout the county into Bloomington Transit Center and back out. And really looking at the population and the demand that's changed, and is there a way that we can better use those resources and still actually meet the real door-to-door response that's needed. It's not a fixed route that's necessarily needed, but that people who need to get to work that are out in the rural community, or the people who need to get in for their dialysis. And you know, we serve a very different population in that regard, and aging population and wanting to keep people aging in their homes, making sure that we still have the resources to continue to do that.
McKim noted rural transit plays an important role in workforce development with its Ivy Tech route. He urged fellow committee members to support the study.
There are also many future potential opportunities for increased role for rural transit, including opportunities for workforce commuting for our growing West Side businesses. And I think this study will help us not only see opportunities for more efficient operation, but for strategic expansion of capabilities, including effective use of emerging technologies.
Bloomington Transit will conduct two studies of its own, a route optimization study and a facilities study. The Bloomington Transit studies will begin this fiscal year. The Rural Transit and the Southwest Corridor studies will be conducted in fiscal year 2019 to 2020. Federal grant dollars will largely fund the studies, combined with smaller local matches.
Three Republican primary U.S. Senate candidates for Indiana will debate later this month. Candidate and U.S. Congressman Todd Rokita had initially declined to debate. Indiana businessman Mike Braun and U.S. Congressman Luke Messer. The three Republicans are vying for their party nomination to challenge incumbent U.S. Senator Joe Donnelly this November. Donnelly is completing his first six-year term. His seat is target of National Republican Political Action Committees, including Americans for Prosperity, run by Republican billionaire brothers David and Charles Koch. Americans for Prosperity have bought over $12 million in attack ads against incumbent Democrats so far this year. Indiana's primaries take place May 8th. Rokita, Braun, and Messer will debate on April 30th. Voters can submit questions for consideration for the debate at IndianaDebateCommission.com. The Indiana Debate Commission is a nonpartisan, statewide group representing citizens and media affiliates dedicated to promoting debates at the state level. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Don Guerra. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
After IU Health announced its sale of the downtown Bloomington Hospital for $6.5 million to the City of Bloomington, the city contracted the Urban Land Institute to put forward recommendations on what to do with the 24-acre downtown site. As City of Bloomington Communications Director Yael Cassander tells WFHB News Director Wes Martin, the Urban Land Institute is putting forward recommendations to expand the city's affordable housing and office space.
The Urban Land Institute, as you probably know, provides advisory services, and the city had contracted with them more than 20 years ago, actually. They consulted with us when it came to developing the Thompson site, the RCA site over there, and so where Cook is now and everything there, Patterson and Rogers. So we knew them at that time. They are advisors. They're all unpaid volunteers, and they come from all around the country, and they come from different professional backgrounds. Some of them are urban planners, some are engineers, some of them come more from the economic side of things, some people are architects, and they provide unbiased professional advice, so they really don't have any skin in the game with regard to, you know, pushing things one way or the other. During that time, they had a series of intensive interviews with about 100 stakeholders from around the community who advised them or gave them insight into what Bloomington was like, how we functioned as a community, our culture, our economy, some of our most pressing issues, things of that nature. So they gathered there was a lot of information gathering and a lot of pounding the pavement over the course of their time here, to get a feeling, and again, just a very preliminary feeling about what Bloomington is like and what the most pressing needs are for that site there in the center of town.
Just to be clear, the city contracted with the Urban Land Institute, correct? Mm-hmm. So this was compensated.
That's right.
And that was about six figures, right? I think about 130?
Yeah, it was upwards of 100. Thousand, I think it was about 134. That is with ULI, the people themselves who offer the advice are unpaid volunteers. who happen to be experts in the field, especially of urban design and urban planning, and have these are people who are like commissioners for cities, design professionals, people who study, who are number crunchers, you know, who study economy and wages and how best to generate jobs and how best to promote the interaction of a community. So they got together, they talked with a lot of these stakeholders, and then by the end of the week, I don't know if you came to that presentation, Wes, but they gave us a presentation that's actually available up on our website. If you've looked at it, it's also on our Facebook, with some of their recommendations for the hospital site. Now, as you know, the hospital, the deal between the city and Bloomington Health, or that is IU Health, is that the hospital must be taken down as a function of that transfer. The garage and the older building that's face the core community building that's facing Rogers Street, those are not subject to that arrangement.
So the hospital itself could be taken down. And from what I saw from some of the just skimming that report, it looked like some of their recommendations included a lot of housing, both apartment buildings and single family dwellings.
That was one of their, you know, in assessing the needs of Bloomington, housing was one of the most urgent ones, especially affordable housing. So what they proposed was a full spectrum of housing options, including a significant chunk of affordable housing, so multifamily apartment buildings and townhomes that are available to not only people at, I believe, 60% of mean salary. Median income is something like $31,000. It's very low, really. But also some of the people that Bloomington really wants to attract now, which are people in the more 25 to 35 year range. So there are a lot of starter houses and things that are affordable to people just starting out.
So it would be open to that affordable housing, if the city were to go ahead with that, would be open to people making like $16,000 to $17,000.
But now, of course, you're going to have to fast forward to, I wouldn't quote me too finely on those numbers, but they were stressing the fact that affordable housing is one of our needs, a huge need here, and as well as the need to stimulate the economy and create jobs. Also, what's important to remember is that these are recommendations, and they were just preliminary recommendations. So what they're going to do is package all of their recommendations and drawings and everything and put it into a more formal report that they're going to submit to us in about 8 weeks. And then that report is going to get put back in front of the hospital reuse committee. You know, things are not going to be happening there for quite a while anyway, because it's years down the line. But the hospital reuse committee will take this report and this advice into consideration when it comes to thinking about how to adapt that site. There was a big emphasis not only on job creation and economic stimulation and housing, but also, and yeah, shortage of office supplies, but also there was a lot of emphasis on how the site, which is really prime real estate downtown, needs to reinforce the connections in the community. So it should be a place that connects the existing historic neighborhoods, McDowell and Prospect Hill, but it also can be a place where partnerships can happen in the business community. Also, just in terms of the Beeline Trail and Seminary Park and some of the green space, there were a lot of images that they shared with us that showed how the green space would continue and kind of connect Beeline Trail and Seminary Park, that it could kind of continue that green belt throughout our city. So, and then there was also a lot of sensitivity about aesthetics and scale and making sure that, you know, buildings didn't get too tall and that there was a kind of a graduated profile of the neighborhood going into the existing neighborhoods of McDowell and Prospect Hill. So there was we heard from a lot of those neighborhood stakeholders during the meeting on Friday, during the review or the presentation, and the neighborhood seemed really pleased with what they were hearing.
You've been listening to City of Bloomington Communications Director Yael Cassander speaking about the Urban Land Institute's recommendations on developing the IU Health Bloomington Hospital site in downtown Bloomington. Those recommendations are available in full on the city's website, bloomington.in.gov.
Coming up next, the Bicentennial Journal, looking back on 200 years of history in South Central Indiana.
Monroe County's Bicentennial Committee presents the Bicentennial Journal, stories celebrating the rich history of Monroe County.
This is my Monroe County story. I'm Gladys Devane. In 1963, I moved to Bloomington, Indiana to pursue a master's degree. At that time, Bloomington consisted of two very different and separate worlds, the university world and the non-university world. Within these worlds was a white world and a black world. Different worlds, different attitudes, different rules. So as a newcomer, I had to figure out how to navigate these worlds. There was no rule book, no guide to social behavior in Bloomington, and no public display of Jim Crow. But once I stepped off campus, there was that feeling of uneasiness, an underlying sense that boundaries did exist. And in moving around town, often this was evidenced not by what was said, but rather by how I was treated. The subtle dismissiveness, the disparaging looks, the obvious display of double standards. For example, my first visit to Nick's English Hut was a Friday evening after my last class. Nick was the local hangout for most graduate students. Jean and I, along with 10 other students, walked into Nick's. Jean and I were the only two blacks in the group, and we were the only two in the group required to show IDs. There were numerous other similar incidents. Often upon entering a business establishment, I was followed or watched, but seldom offered assistance by a host or clerk. There were few, if any, people of color working in off-campus establishments, and the further away from campus we moved, the more overt racial intolerance seemed to become. Like most, if not all, blacks, I felt as if I was in the world of Bloomington, but not a part of the world of Bloomington. I felt a disconnect. There were no signs. No one ever barred me from entering their establishment, but I, as most blacks, was aware of the unwritten laws that governed social interaction. So for the most part, blacks didn't frequent white bars and clubs or places of entertainment. We knew we weren't welcome, and often we were excluded from the private parties and social gatherings of those with whom we worked, unless the event was a company-sponsored event. So, we created our own social life. We organized house parties, game nights, pitch-in dinners, card parties in each other's homes, and we had the hole, or the Black Elks, as some called it, where we would meet to eat, to dance, and just hang out, to get away from being black in Bloomington. The hole still stands on the west side of Bloomington, but it has long since closed. The building was bought by a man not of color. Each time I drive by the hole, I think of how different times were then, how times have changed. Back then, The black community had its own annual signature social events. And that's a story for next week.
Tune in next week for part two of this bicentennial story. Support for the Bicentennial Journal and WFHB comes from Monroe County and Visit Bloomington. More information about Monroe County's Bicentennial is available at monroecounty200.us.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
The Bicentennial Journal is produced by Kate Welsh with help from Joyce Poling. Our engineer is Megan Wade. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumpstein, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for Counterspin, fairness and accuracy in reporting's weekly radio show, providing a critical examination of national headlines. That's coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@WFHB.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcast of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.